One of the hardest things in faith is to keep praying when nothing is changing. I remember a few years ago, during one of the fasts, me and my wife had a bunch of things that we were praying for, but there was one big thing we were both praying for her. My wife had transitioned from churches a few years ago, and she had really wanted to establish a strong friend group, some women of God that could walk alongside of her. And she had a lot of people around her, but didn't feel like she had the friendships that she was really looking for. So I remember we started pressing in, we're fasting, we're praying, and you know, the fast goes by and no answer to prayer. We continue to pray. I put it on my prayer list. A few more months go by and still no change. A few more months go by. Now it's been probably about 2 years we've been praying about this. She's been taking steps in this area, but she doesn't really have the friend group that she's wanted. And I remember feeling in that season, like, this is hard. It's easy to pray when your prayers are answered right away and you get what you asked for from God. But it's a lot harder to press in day after day, week after week, month after month, whether it's your thing or somebody else's. And by God's grace, after 2 years, God blessed her with an amazing friend group. And I feel like we were just talking about it the other day. Her friend group is flourishing. She said it's a 10. It is flourishing more than ever before. Praise God. But there's seasons for all of us where we feel like that, where there's things that are important to us or people around us, and we are praying, we are asking, we are waiting, we're believing, we're wrestling, and yet day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, sometimes even though we're believing, nothing's changing. And I think that can be one of the most difficult things for us, is when we go through those seasons, we can be discouraged. We can stop believing. We can stop praying because we go, nothing's changing. It's hard to keep praying and believing when nothing's changing. Some of you may be asking in that season right now this question: how do you keep believing that God can move when nothing is changing? And I want to bring you to a passage today in Habakkuk chapter 3 that is going to speak right to that question for us. Habakkuk is going to speak to us from chapter 3, and he's going to teach us some powerful insights about how you and I can keep believing that God will move even when nothing is changing. Here's the first thing that Habakkuk teaches us to keep believing. Number one, we have to look back before you look ahead. Listen to what the prophet says. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. See, before we read chapter 3, you need to know one big thing about Habakkuk. He is a prophet and a man that is desperate to see God move. He's prayed, he's sought God, he's believed, he's waited, he's wrestled with God in the last two chapters, and he's wondering why nothing is changing. But then by chapter 3, something changes. Instead of focusing on his circumstances, Habakkuk starts to remember what God has done. He starts to remember his faithfulness. He starts to remember how God has provided. He starts to remember how God has protected him. And this is really important because Habakkuk teaches us something that we all need to hold on to. That sometimes you have to remember before you can believe again. You know why this is so challenging for us? Is because in seasons where nothing is changing, you're praying, you're being faithful, but that marriage situation's not changing, That situation with your health is not changing. That situation with your kids is not changing. It can be so easy to forget God's faithfulness in a season where nothing is changing. Oh, this is important because what we focus on, and as we remember the faithfulness of God, it actually builds up our belief. It builds up our faith as we see his faithfulness, and it helps us start to believe again that God can answer our prayers. Maybe that's what some of you are feeling today as you hear me speak. You really don't need more information in your season where nothing is changing. What you need more than anything else is you need a reminder. A reminder of how God has been faithful to you, how he carried you through that season, how he answered that prayer that you prayed for 3 years, how he provided for you when you didn't know how you and your family were going to make it. See, I'm here to remind someone today that may be looking around at all of their circumstances and you see nothing changing, you see nothing progressing, you're getting discouraged, you're starting to say, maybe I should give up on this prayer or give up on that thing changing. I'm here to remind someone today to go back through your story and remember how God has been faithful to you. Because as you go back through your story and you remember, God, you were there with me in my college years. And God, you did protect me when I strayed away. And God, you were there with me when I was without a job. And you provided. When you start to remember how good and how faithful he has been to you, you know what it does? It builds up your faith so that you can believe that God, even though nothing is changing, I have faith to believe that you can move again. The second thing that Habakkuk teaches us, if we're going to keep believing in the seasons where nothing is changing, is this: don't settle for yesterday's stories. Verse 2 says this. Habakkuk says, repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. See, it's interesting here that Habakkuk doesn't stop with simply remembering what God has done. He doesn't stop by just saying, God, I remember that story. I remember that testimony. I remember that thing that you did in my life. Habakkuk doesn't stop there. He's not content with just hearing about what God has done. He wants to experience a move of God in his life himself. So he prays, God, I've heard what you've done before in other people's lives. I've heard what you've done in other times in history, but God, do it again in my day. See, this is so vitally important for us when you and I are in seasons where nothing is changing, because faith doesn't just remember what God did. It believes he can do it again. And this really is the heartbeat of Habakkuk's message here. He doesn't want us to simply just hear stories of God moving in the past. He doesn't just want us to remember how God has been faithful to us in the last 5 years, or how God showed up when you were in the hospital in that season. What Habakkuk is saying is, looking back, it's supposed to help fill your faith so that you can believe again that God will move again, because God is powerful. And Habakkuk believes this because the God who moved then is still the God who moves the same today. After praying a long time, it can be easy to stop expecting your prayers to be answered. After praying in a season where nothing is changing and you're wrestling with God saying, why do I still have this sickness? Or why is my marriage still in this place? Or why is my children or my finances, why are these situations and circumstances the way that they are? It can test our faith so greatly. But I'm here to remind someone today that's in that season where nothing is changing, that just because you don't see your circumstances changing doesn't mean that God's not moving. Keep praying, keep believing, keep asking, because the God who moved before is still able to move again. Habakkuk says this next in verse 17. It's interesting and powerful. He says, though the fig trees do not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, he says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Here's the third thing that we see in this passage about how we keep believing in seasons where nothing is changing in our life. Number three, let yet become your favorite word. It's interesting here that Habakkuk paints a picture of what it feels like when nothing is changing in your life. He's still waiting. He's still lacking. His circumstances haven't improved. You know, there's no grapes. The olive crop fails. There's no sheep. And then he says one of the most powerful words you can say when nothing's changing. He says, yet. Now, yet is a powerful word because yet is a word of contrast. Yet is a word of faith. You know what yet means? Yet means in spite of everything I just said, I will still worship God. See, Habakkuk is showing us something so powerful and so true. When we are wrestling in seasons where we are crying out to God, God, change, change the circumstances, change my story, change my place, change my situation. Habakkuk teaches us something so important that the strongest worship often begins with the word yet. See, there are times in our life where you will be faithful to God month after month, year after year, and when nothing is changing in your children, your family, your work, your health, your mind, you're still wrestling, you're praying, you're petitioning, you're seeking God. There will be times in those seasons where we will be tempted to quiet our worship. I know you felt it. I have too. Where you feel like you're holding up your end. You're pressing in. You're praying. You're giving, you're serving, you're leading. And the circumstances around you are all going wrong. They're all bad. And you have faith at the beginning and it's strong at the beginning and you're pressing in. But after time goes on, you start becoming frustrated, discouraged. You're wrestling with God. It's harder to worship because of the pain that you're experiencing. It's harder to worship because of that disappointment that you have. It's harder to worship when you see your kid going through what they're going through. It's harder to worship when you have to keep going to the hospital to get chemo and you're looking to God and saying, God, I don't understand. I've seen you do it in other people, but why aren't you changing my circumstances, my life? And you come on Sunday and it was easy to raise your hands before, now it becomes hard to raise your hands. It was easy to sing praises to God because things were going good, but now things are bad for so long, it's hard to worship him, to have joy, to be grateful. And what Habakkuk teaches us is something so important that in those moments, you and I need to remember that in spite of everything that may not be going right, God is still good. In spite of you not having that healing, what Habakkuk is modeling for us is he's saying, I may not be healed yet. My God is still good. I may not have my breakthrough yet. I will still rejoice. I may not have the job yet. I will still worship him. See, what Habakkuk understands is our praise and our worship is not dependent on our circumstances changing. Our praise is dependent upon how good our God is. And our circumstances may not change, but our God is worthy because he is unchanging. So I'm here to encourage you who may be in a season where you feel like your lips have been silenced because it's been hard in the season of unchanging. I want to remind you that may all be bad, but use your yet, because God has given you a contrast of the bad that you're going through. You can always look to him who is good, and God has been so good to us. Your worship doesn't have to wait for your breakthrough. You have a yet. In the middle of my waiting, in the middle of my pain, in the middle of my kids are going through, I will still choose to worship you, God, even when nothing has changed. That may not change what's going on the outside. But I'll tell you what, it's powerful to change your heart on the inside. It's part of the way that we keep believing and we're able to get through the seasons where nothing is changing, but we still believe that God can move. Here's the final thing that Habakkuk teaches us to keep believing. Number four, he says, stop waiting for flat ground. Listen to verse 19 as we close. The sovereign Lord is my strength, Habakkuk says. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. See, something has changed in Habakkuk. The first two chapters, he's wrestling with God. I don't understand it, God. I've been faithful. I don't understand why we're going through what we're going through. I don't understand why things look like they're going to get worse. He is wrestling in dialogue with God. But something shifted. In the beginning, he's asking God to change what's happening around him, change his circumstances, and now he's confident that even if the situation and circumstances don't change, listen, God will give him the strength to keep going. Listen to me, this is important. God is teaching us something eternal and profound. God is teaching us that he doesn't always remove the mountains. Sometimes he just gives us the strength to climb it. You know, we all have mountains in our life. Mountains of difficult marriage, prodigal children, hard financial situations, health battles. And sometimes we sit at the foot of the mountain and we look up and because we know of how great God's power is, we ask God to move the mountain away. God, I don't want to climb that. God, I that's going to be hard, challenging. God, would you take away my sickness? God, would you heal my marriage? God, would you heal my body? God, would you save my kids? And God sometimes steps in, and sometimes God does remove that mountain, and he is good. We praise him for that. But God doesn't always remove the mountain in our life. Sometimes, no matter how much you love Jesus, how faithful you've been, how much you've served, and how much you've prayed and given, God goes, no, listen, I understand what you're asking me, but I'm not going to remove the mountain, and it's not because I don't love you. I'm going to keep that mountain there, but I am gonna give you all the strength that you need to climb up that mountain and get to the other side. See, God loves us so much that he allows certain mountains to be in our life. Why? Because he wants to shape us and mold us into the image of Christ. And we would not become the people that God has called us to be if every time we stepped at the foot of a mountain, he removed it. You would never become the resilient, strong follower of Jesus, mature in him that you needed to be. But I love that God, when he doesn't remove the mountain, he doesn't abandon you. He walks with you and gives you the strength. So no matter how hard your unchanging season is, God goes, I will give you the strength to climb the mountain. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because someone listening today needs to be reminded that if the mountain is still there, it doesn't mean that God has left you. He's still with you. And listen to me. And he's our strength. When you feel like you can't keep going, and I don't know if I can keep being faithful, and I don't know if I can stay in this marriage, and I don't know if I can keep praying for my kids, and I don't know if I can keep wrestling that financial trouble and get out of that debt, and you start to feel hopeless, I want you to remember, you are not alone. You have the God of the universe that always wins, and he is empowering you every step of the way so that you can climb that mountain in a way where other people can't. So don't lose hope. Don't be discouraged. You are not alone. That mountain that feels like, I don't know if I can do it, you absolutely can, because your God is greater and he gives you the strength when you're on the mountain not to quit, so you can be like deer that climb it up in this unbelievable way, protect it all the way as they get up in an unusual way. God says, I will make you just like that because you have my strength. And so in a season where nothing is changing, you can still believe that God is going to move again because God is with you and he is our strength. Can I have you stand with me? I'm gonna invite the worship teams up right now and we're just gonna close with a word of prayer. I know the Holy Spirit has been speaking to many of you, speaking to your heart. You feel the weight of the words. You feel, I'm in that season, Pastor. Or something in your life that you really want to change is unchanging. And as we, as a church, all the locations together, dive into 21 days of prayer, my heart for you and for me is that we would press in, but we wouldn't just pray. We would pray believing. We would pray knowing that God gives us his strength. We would pray knowing that just because the mountain hasn't moved doesn't mean that our God is not with us. We would pray knowing and remembering what God has done in the past. We would pray knowing that what God has done in the past, he could do again. We would pray and not give up even when things are not changing. We would rejoice. Because the greatest transformation doesn't start out there. It starts in here. And that's what happened in Habakkuk's life. Let's pray. God, we've heard what you've done in the past. We've read what you've done in the scripture. We've celebrated what you've done at New Life. But God, we're not just asking for another history lesson or to know the stories. We're asking you to do it again. Move again in me. Move again in our family. Move again in our relationship. Move again in our finances. Move again in our cold hearts. Move again in our church. Move again in our city. We choose to commit this 21 days to pray bold prayers out of how great you are. And we choose to believe that you can still move in our life today. Move again, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.